Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, January 14th, 2022. 11 coming up on 12 minutes past the hour. Angie Evershawn Craft in studio. We thank everybody who's called in the last hour. Keep it up. We like talking to you out there. 740-383-9944. An interesting bit of conversation was brought up last hour. Radio personalities in general and how they act on the air versus how they act off the air. Now, I've gotten to know quite a few people who are on the air a little different than they are off the air. And I guess that's always opinion, and I'm not going to say any names because I think that's inappropriate to expose somebody. But I can tell you there are a lot of people who I've worked with on the air. The person you hear on the air is nowhere near the person that they are off the air. And that's very, very unfortunate. And I don't know what... I cannot be different because it's too hard to keep that up. I've seen so many people, I hate false sincerity. And when somebody goes up to somebody and, oh, it's so great to meet you, and da-da-da-da-da, and then as soon as they're out of there, they turn to somebody and goes, their hand smelled like this, and they had an odor, and on. I hate that. I think that's if you felt that way, then act that way. When you meet them, don't try to put on the dog, as they used to say.
Sugarcoat it?
Well, I don't know if they're sure. I think they're just flat out being phony. Because they want people to listen. They want people to like everything they say. You know, I learned a long time ago, not everybody's going to like everything I say. But hopefully...
I definitely don't like giving these.
But if I respect the audience's opinion... You know, this is interesting. I've got to give you a little behind the scenes. We had a meeting here last night at the station. And I gave a little bit of a speech to the people who were here. And I'm not going to say who was here. But they were on-air personalities. And I said, you know, you think sometimes the stuff you're doing is hurting other people here. Who work here. You're not hurting them. You're hurting the audience. That's who you work for. You don't work for me. You don't work for a board of directors. You don't work for any one person. You work for the audience when you're in this business. So you put on a half-cocked show, or you don't show up for somebody, you're basically snubbing your nose at the audience who expects you to be there. So I really put the audience in high esteem. And people who don't, well, I think the audience can tell who does and who doesn't.
Right. That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's what radio is all about. Whoever's behind that microphone is controlling the show, and if you don't have good programming, you're not going to have anything.
Well, it's just showing up. Yeah. It's not about you, what you want.
No,
it's being there for the audience.
Right. It's what.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I called in a couple times today on Adam's show, and barely hear him on the telephone.
Well, I'll tell you why. And now, see, this is me. This is my honesty again. Adam might get ticked if he's out there listening. What Adam does is Adam videotapes himself while he's on the air.
Yeah,
and he's
talks about that. Yeah.
He gets kind of concerned with how he looks in his camera, so he moves away from the microphone. And I think he forgets this is radio, and you have to talk into the microphone because that's how you're hearing me, is through the microphone. And if he's way back here doing a video like this, you see how different that sounds?
Yeah, that's how I sounded,
yeah,
or worse.
That's well, you could watch it on the video and see that's what he's doing. And I, you know, it's not a knock on him. He does what he does. I do what I do. But that's what you were having a problem with this morning.
Yeah, but if he's going to do that, he's not going to get the, he don't get many callers anyhow. There was one other guy, I didn't listen all day, you know, clear to 1 o'clock. I was listening here and there. But there's another guy that called and was telling him he was having trouble hearing him too, but I didn't talk to him too long. He, you know, he wanted to talk a little bit longer, I think, but when I called him, I just had to get off there because I couldn't, every other thing he's saying, I can't hear, and, you know.
Well, you just, it's interesting. Here's what I will say. I think that's what's happening. But, you know, also when you're in this business, you've got to be able to take criticism because it's a public business. And if you can't take, trust me, I've been criticized many a time. And that's okay. But if you can't take criticism, if you're a what do they call that now? What's that term they use for people who are
snowflake?
Snowflake. If your feelings get hurt easy, you're in the wrong business. Because not everybody's going to like you every day. I mean, I know when I was doing stories on certain things, people didn't like it. But, you know, that's... I hope overall we can get along. And that's what I always hope. And I, you know, I guess that's what I'm... Am I making any sense here at all?
Yeah.
At least you can hear me, I hope.
Well, maybe if Adam's listening, he needs to start talking into that microphone. I mean, if somebody calls, we're not going to call him back again when they can't hear him.
Well, you know, I will say this about Adam. Adam does a very professional show as far as the content, and I think that's very good.
Yeah.
I would never criticize him for that at all, but I do think the video portion is not always necessary. I think sometimes it hurts the radio portion.
Well, I don't know why he's worried about it on the video where it looks like he's talking in the microphone. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's one of those things. I'm sure he will hear this, and hopefully he'll take that into consideration.
Okay, have a good night.
Hey, thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Yep. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. But it's an interesting thing.
It sure is. Yeah, that's why the microphone's in front of you. You got to definitely talk into it. Because if not, people are not going to hear you.
People do that all the time, though, and you can see pictures and videos, and you say, well, why do I sound so bad? Because you're sitting back here, or right. you've got the microphone turned down. It's strange.
I mean,
how people...
you don't have a Papel mic on.
It's an odd thing, I'll say that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, I'm very interested in your work and how you do it. I've listened to you, I've been in the studio, listened to you guys broadcast. I've seen you and Charlie, know both of you very well, and it's really enjoyable. But when I walked in and I've seen Adam, I looked at him, and I just motioned to him, and I didn't want to scare him, who I was. And but anyhow, I told him, go ahead. And when he was broadcasting, so you answered my question. This I just found out a moment ago. When he was there, he was kind of like, swinging a little bit like he was enjoying this 100%, and he was up close to the mic, and he was smiling while he was talking. I've watched you and Charlie. You're just normal as can be. You're talking. So he is performing on the radio and putting it out on an image on a camera, correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I could tell that differential there then, so that's what it was. I wondered, I've seen you broadcast and Charlie, and I never seen that reaction, just the same facial things and that. But he was putting on a little smile and looked like he was enjoying himself. And I'm telling you, that guy does enjoy himself, because he admitted, he said he likes to talk also, and he does a daggone good job. He don't have a dead mic at all.
That's true. I agree with you 100%.
But I sure enjoyed him, and I'm glad I seen him in person, and glad to talk to him, and I'm glad that I know you and got to see a little bit of the inside story on broadcasting on the radio. It's been a pretty good lesson to me over the last couple of years that I've known you guys in radio.
Wait, so, stop by anytime.
Thank you for everything. I really enjoyed it. Our last few years of retirement. You know, it don't take much to make retired people happy.
We do what we can. We do what we can.
Well, you do an awful good job. I've heard that enough from it. And Angie?
Yes.
Angie?
Yes.
She just phoned an Adam. She backed up from the microphone.
I was just sitting back listening.
Well, you can't sit back. You got to dive right in there, honey, and you better get in there with him. Because you're a rose sitting between two thorns. Is that the way that accolation goes, if you say that right?
Yeah.
Do you think you feel like that way with Sean and Scott?
Yes, sometimes.
Well, you know what? You got some of the best, how do you just use initials on radio, BSers? Would that be BS? Boy, they got it to the hilt. You know what I mean? They know their business on that. So you dive right in there and talk, because you're a good talker. Don't think you can't talk like your father. It just takes a little bit more getting in there and just let her fly and just say what you believe, and you do a good job, and you're honest with your speech. Thank you very much,
Thank
Angie.
You.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. The phone lines are blazing tonight, and that's how we like it. And you know what? I always like... praise is nice to hear, but so is criticism. Criticism's not a dirty word to me. Sometimes you don't realize you're doing things wrong. And, the audience is the consumer here.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a restaurant, if your customers aren't happy, you ain't going to be there very long. And our customer in radio is the listener. And I wish more people understood that. You know, that's the showbiz. Go ahead, caller.
Now you've got me curious. Which of the Adams would we like best?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. When he's on the air, as I said, he does a very professional, thorough, prepared job. And I also, honestly, we would not have obituaries had it not been for Adam. He picked that up, and I believe that's a great service. So
yes, that's
very good. Adam in person is a very shy... I'm going to say, well, everybody here knows him. How good would you just, he's definitely shy. He's hyper. He talks much more and I think he would admit this. He talks a lot faster in person than he does on the radio. I think you would notice that right off the bat. Not that he's not likable to be around in person, but it's definitely... a different person. So I like Adam on the air. I don't mind listening to his show. Not to say I don't like being him in person, but I don't think, and I think Adam self-admittedly is not a people person. I mean, he doesn't come to the Christmas party. He's not really sociable.
Well, he said today he has no social skills.
I think he knows it. And you know, yeah. We all have our faults. And it's... You would notice his speech pattern is the biggest thing you would notice if you met him in person. It's uh-huh. about 10 times faster than how he's talking on.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's a just, and a lot of times he doesn't, you know, Lee calls him the windpipe. And that, the Adam that calls in is more like the Adam in person.
Who is that Adam?
Yeah, that's more like the Adam in person than the guy who's hosting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's more who you get in person.
Okay, so he gets excited and he wants to play the games and we all know he has no life.
Yeah, I think he gets very, very, I mean, not to say that he's not a nice person. He's a very nice person.
I just think maybe that's more natural. And the other is something that he puts on for his persona for his radio part.
Yeah, and I think he'd admit that. I think he knows he's doing that. Yeah. When he sits down behind the microphone, it's a measured delivery. It's prepared. On the radio, he's much more calm. I've had conversations with him. I don't think we've ever had an argument, to be honest, but uh-huh. I can't remember that, but he's very, I guess what you would, high, I don't want to say high strung. That's not right.
But yeah, he's high strung.
Well, he's high strung. Okay, let's say it. Let's just flat out say it.
Now listen to me.
Yeah, he's a little...
Daddy.
Yeah.
He's a Gemini.
Well, sometimes I'll, like, I won't say what the disagreement was, and it really didn't turn into an argument. But I was telling him, I said, now, Adam, when you fill in for me tomorrow, I think this is best. And he disagreed, and he became very high-strung. Now, it turned out okay, and I ended up saying, well, just, do what you feel's best. You're the one there, not me. But stuff like that will happen in person.
Well, because I know he's a Gemini, and because I'm a Gemini, I know how that works, and there is that part of him. You know, I feel badly that he's not more of a social person. How a person gets that way, whether you're just not around people as much to enjoy other people, but...
Yeah, and and it's interesting because everybody else here at the station, and I'm running through them in my brain, I'll tell you a story on somebody else here who I don't think they would mind me telling this story. Glenn Coble. If you
met
Glenn,
Gemini.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you met Glenn in person, you would be surprised how much he doesn't talk about politics. I think on the air, people get the impression that he is very political minded. But to be honest with you, most of my conversations with Glenn off the air and at Christmas party and anniversary, and we never talk politics. It's never about
that. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But you have so many people on there. The pastor, Pastor Steve, he's a Gemini. And I can see all those different, because I'm a person that I watch, I pay attention to that sort of thing. And the different personalities. Sometimes they're one way and sometimes they're not.
Well, it's interesting, and I don't know if they're listening, and it's, they'll both know this is sincere. Pastor Steve and Pastor Craig, I really, both of those guys, I have a great like for. They're completely different in personality, but I like them. Matter of fact, Pastor Craig stopped by my house on Christmas Eve during my Christmas party, and it was perfectly fit in. And Pastor Steve has invited me to many things at his church. I'm sorry I haven't been able to go to a lot of them, but I enjoy my time with Pastor Whitaker, and I like both of those men. And I guess I'm just grouping them together because they're both pastors, and I think they have a different approach to their shows, but I like both of those men a great deal. I don't think I've ever had a cross word with either one of them.
And Adam and Pastor Steve, I thought the program went well. I like the interaction.
Good, I'm glad that...
From what I heard this morning. Yeah.
I'm glad that... I was wondering how that would go. I'm glad it went well. I haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
Hey, well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I'd be hard-pressed for me to find somebody I didn't like here, though. I mean, I've had... discussions with people over the years, but I don't think I've ever disliked anybody. Jump in, guys. You know all these people. What would you say about Glenn? I don't think he talks politics off the air a whole lot. On the air, he's very political. But off the air, I don't spend a lot of time talking politics with Glenn.
No, Glenn's very, very good person to talk to off the air. He's really knowledgeable. And I think it's because he's been around Marion a long time, and he kind of reminds me of Charlie. He has a lot of knowledge about different stuff.
I mean, I've only been around for like a year, so I don't know people like you guys know them. So, I don't know Adam very well. I've met him a few times, but I know he likes Chinese buffet.
Yeah, well, and Pastor Craig, I just have a great like for. I just think he's a very nice man. And Pastor Whitaker, I didn't start engineering Pastor Whitaker's show till about 2 years ago, and I've gotten much more involved with him, being here with him every Friday, and I just find him to be a very nice gentleman.
See, I don't know Pastor Whitaker that well. Maybe a couple times I ran into him. I don't even think me and him's not really had any conversation before, I don't think. So I'm like in the boat with you, like you are with a couple of the people. But, I think he's nice. I listen to his show, Pastor Whitaker.
But it's interesting to me we always talk during the breaks on this station, as opposed to other stations I've been with. So, you know, usually whoever's on the air, when we go to break, we talk. And most of the time, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about on the air.
No.
So that's interesting. Yeah. Because I you get to know more about them. You know what's going on with their families. You know what's going on with their life. You know what's... You know, you find a different person than the radio person. And some people, and not nobody here at this station right now, but there are two people who come to mind who have been on this station doing shows in the past who were nothing like the person they were on the air. And that was always a mystery to me, that they could get on and do that personality, and then as soon as that break came, you would see the real person come out. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah, and pay attention and see who's fake and who's not fake. Yeah.
Well, I'm not even... I sometimes think they're just adapting a persona.
Just like a... Yeah, just to be like a show. Yeah.
It's too much work for me to put on a persona. Too much. Too much. I just try to come in and... whatever's interesting to me that morning, or what I think might be interesting to somebody else, like the Catwoman. That was never a planned conversation this week, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
So we got into it. Recipes.
Yeah. You know, since I know Pastor Craig more than I do Whitaker, Pastor Craig, you know, I engineered his shows, you know, not engineer, but I came in and helped him get started and everything, and got to talk to him, you know, during his health crisis at the time and stuff like that. He is a very good, intelligent man to talk to. And we don't even talk about, you know, religion. We talk about other stuff. I did not know he was in the porta potty business, and so we started talking, and he's saying that they were scarlet and gray. So I got him some business that way, because you know there's a lot of people Ohio State that go tailgate partying. So got that all started, you know, and so he's very nice. And it was very awesome that he called to come over to the party that night. That was pretty cool.
Well, it's very important to me sometimes. I always try to keep separate what we talk about off the air and on the air with anybody, because I don't think it's my business. Now, if somebody wants to talk about their own life on the air, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's my business, just because I happen to know it, to come on the air and say it, and then they have to deal with it. I think that's, even if I don't think it's a big deal, that's not my place.
Right.
You know, if somebody tells me something off the air, I assume they told me it off the air for a reason.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Agree.
Yeah, but yeah. People will do that. I've seen people do that over the years. And then because you'll say, you'll try to pull it back, and they'll go, well, isn't that the truth? Well, you don't want to lie, but you think, well, why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you say something that...
off the air, then.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did... It's very inappropriate, I think.
I agree with that. Yeah, you shouldn't say something off the air and then turn around and... Yeah. I agree. Number one, that's kind of unprofessional, to be honest with you.
Well, it breaks the rules of radio, yeah. Which are governed by rules. It's, you know, I've known a lot of secrets over the years about people. I mean, I've come on the air and said things... Now, how do I put this with still keeping this a secret? I've come on the air and said things that were not necessarily exactly as they were because somebody asked me to do that, because it was their wish that it was done that way. So that, it's not my place. I'm not supposed to make decisions for other people.
Yeah.
If it's pertaining to me and I completely lie about it, now that's a lie. But if somebody asks me to do something because they want their own privacy, well, I think that's different. You're entitled to your own privacy. That's where we started tonight, with people like Betty White and Bob Saget. They're entitled to some privacy. Just because they leave a public life doesn't mean everything in their life has to be for public consumption.
Right. Yeah, I feel sorry for the wife and the kids. Did you have one kid, two kids? I don't even know. I know he had a daughter, right?
Bob Saget?
Yeah.
He had three. I think they said he had three daughters, just like he had in the Full House.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. But.
Okay.
Well, the big ones that I always come up with are how do you vote And right now in the world we live in, did you get the shot? And it's not about, I mean, I obviously vote. I'm a citizen of the United States. I believe voting's very important.
A shot, what do you mean shot?
The vaccination.
Oh, vaccine, okay.
And, you know, it's such an issue. To me, it's not what I think. I don't want to influence anybody, because I know there are people who listen to this show for their news, and I don't think me coming on going, I did get vaccinated, or I didn't, or I voted for this person, or I voted for this person, I don't think that's my right to come on and influence somebody that way. I think it's just inappropriate to do that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, when I was 17 years old up on North Main Street, I was rubbing elbows with Madge Cooper Guthrie.
Oh.
And Madge Cooper. And can you believe that?
You know, back in those days, now what year would this have been?
That was in 1958.
50, so Madge was already about 50 years old then.
Yeah, and you know what? She said, I was a lovely young man.
I
got acquainted with her. She was coming down the street on North Main. I was walking down to Ford. I was working for Ford Motor Company at the time. And I was walking down there, and I seen this, like a station wagon, I believe. It was a stop, and it had boxes on top and in the back and everything. And there was boxes all over North Main and George Street, the corner right there. And I thought, man, what the heck happened here? And the wind must have blown them, and they was down there. She was panicking somewhat, and I help gather them. Of course, you know, 17, boy, you can do a lot of work pretty fast. But you done the math on it, so she might have been around, must have been around 50. You can do the math very well, because you know her. So I got talking to her, and she said, young man, if you ever need anything, she said, I work for WMRN. She said, come up and ask for me, and I can help you with whatever you want to say or do on the radio. And I said, well, that's nice. And that was the kind of woman she was, just me, a young kid on the street. And she asked me what my desires was later on in life. And I said, I thought in life I wanted to be an outdoor guide up in Canada or Alaska. She said, boy, what an exciting adventure that would be, living like that and doing that kind of work. And I said, yeah. But I'd done that kind of work just with my... with our family and my father and a couple neighbor guys, I pretend like I was a guide and took them on trips, and I accomplished what I kind of had to do. But she was an interesting woman at that age. I kind of just felt like I really knew somebody important, and the more she was around, the more I found out she was a very important woman.
You know, it's sad that people, because she's been going a while now and started back in the 1941 on radio, but it's hard to explain to people just how big Madge Cooper was in this area at the height of her success. She was a very well-known woman.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Scott.
Yeah?
Charlie, he always said, I said, hey, Charlie, I said, something about talking, you know, and this and that. And he said, and I said, something about, why don't you come and talk about something like that? He said, I don't talk unless I get paid.
Well, there you go.
We both laughed, and he really, you know, Charlie laughed, and I laughed, and I said, oh, man, Charlie, I said, I don't think you have to get paid to talk. You're born to talk. But, yeah, Angie, you come from a good family. I don't know if your mom ever talked about me and your mom. Well, when she was in grade school, well, we lived just not too far from far, but your mom, but your grandma, she would be out there looking down the street and looking for Jeannie to come home. And me and another guy used to walk Jeannie home, carry her books. This other guy, he got a little ahead of me. He played a clarinet, and I think Jeannie, she played a clarinet,
yes,
I believe, or a flute or something. Can you remember?
Yes, I think she played the clarinet.
Yeah, and so he carried her clarinet.
Oh.
I didn't get to carry her clarinet. Come on, let's go. See you guys.
See ya, bye-bye. You know, it's interesting. I've told this story on the air, and you've confirmed this. Charlie here was the most talkative person. I mean, he would talk during the breaks. I would come in and talk to him. He came to all the Christmas parties. He came to all the anniversary parties. We did election night together, just him and I, for many, many years. He never stopped talking. He liked to talk to the audience. But you say, and your sister have said, at home, he was not like that.
No, I think he talked himself out.
At home, he was a quiet man.
Yeah, pretty much.
I cannot imagine that. Because he never shut up when he was here.
But I mean, like, we would go to the grocery store and you couldn't move 5 feet without stopping. So, I mean, he would talk to people. He loved to talk to people. Not as much as when he got older, but, you know, when I was...
But he wasn't talkative at home. I mean, I'll never forget when I was at the fair. Because, I mean, Charlie and we didn't hang around after work. I mean, sometimes we'd go to the Oakland, and do that. But we were definitely friends, but I think we saw each other at work so much, we didn't hang out, you know, at night or anything, go to each other's house or anything. But it was interesting because I remember your sister came up to me at the fair one time, and she said, you know, thanks for still having Dad on the radio. And I said, oh, well, we love having Charlie on the radio. We wouldn't have it any other way. It's a pleasure. And he said, well, when he's at home, he just sits in his chair.
Yeah, he would like to sit in his chair and watch TV.
And doesn't talk. And I said, doesn't talk? He said, no, when the family gets together, he just sits there and doesn't really.
Well, I mean, it really depended who came over. I mean, if it was, say...
But you and your mom and you and your sister, he wasn't talking to you guys unless you talked to him, huh?
I mean, of course we talked, but, I mean...
He wasn't the guy on the radio, what you're saying.
No, not like, nonstop conversation.
Now, see, here he was nonstop conversation, even during the breaks. But we loved it.
I mean, I know Dad always liked to talk to Mom in the car, because Mom would always say that he would get frustrated because she would fall asleep in the car. So, I mean, he liked to talk, but... I don't know. I just don't remember him talking tons. I mean, he always talked to us, but not like radio talk. You know,
I thought for a long time that I was quieter off the air. But you've pointed out that I'm not.
No. No, you're a talker.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's as much. I like to listen to people.
Yeah, when I come over to visit, yeah, you're a talker.
Okay, well, I guess it doesn't change.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think that's a negative, but no. I just didn't think that I was as talkative off the air. Like, when I go into, like, when you say your dad
like
would...
You quiz me a lot.
Like, when you say your dad would want to stop and talk to people in the grocery store, see, I'm not good at that. I look straight ahead and just...
Go the other way.
Keep going. Because I don't want... A lot of... I don't want to bother people. I don't know, I'm just... Not that it's a bother, but I just don't want to...
But there's been many a times I've been in the store with you, and people come up to you and they chit-chat with you.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to people. It's not... I mean, I'm glad anytime
somebody
comes...
Everybody knows you. Every time I go out with him, we go either go to a restaurant... Or if we go, you know, somewhere, like a store, everybody knows who you are.
Well, here's the problem. When you're with somebody else a lot of the time, I feel like I'm not paying attention to them if I get in a conversation with somebody else. And because that's a lot of it.
I guess I would be used to it, you know.
Well, see, I'm just not good at ignoring the people I'm with. I always want to pay attention to what they're saying. Anywho, 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. We enjoy hearing from you. Like, I think a lot of people talk more off the air than they do on the air.
I do. That's me.
I probably do, too.
Yeah.
I think Glenn does, oddly enough. Glenn is much more of a talker off the air.
I'm not quick at thinking... stuff to talk about.
Me neither.
Like, subjects. And that's why I struggled with the swap shop when I first... I couldn't think of what to do. So that's why I played music. That was not good, though, but... I don't know. You know, I couldn't think of anything about the talk. You know what I mean? It's like...
What my favorite thing, and I've said this before, and the person, I don't know if the person knows who does it, but I love when people are sitting in front of an open microphone and they try to whisper something to you in front of an open microphone as if it's not picking it up.
Right.
And I think, why are you doing that?
Right.
We can hear you.
Maybe you should have note cards and a pen in case somebody needs to tell you something. That way they can hold it up.
I don't know why anybody would have to tell me what emergency could be going on. I mean, if you need to go to break, you should just put a break sign up. You know. You know, that's all. That's what.
Did you guys hear that? Break.
Well, that's the radio signal for break.
I figured that means break your neck.
No, that's break. Break in radio. When an engineer would tell you to go to break, like if they were trying to keep a log, that's the hand signal they would give you.
Wow.
It's like you're breaking in, like a piece of wood into, or breaking a stick. That's what the hand signal used to be, the engineers to the... You know what I might do tomorrow that I have not done yet? Go out to the cemetery and look for Bob Mason's grave.
Who's Bob Mason?
The founder of radio in Marion.
Oh, the WMIN. Where at Marion?
It's in Marion Cemetery.
Oh, really?
But not the big cemetery, the...
The one behind the Harding, Harding Memorial.
Oh, okay.
We looked for it one day, but...
It was wet, and it
was getting dark, and...
Oh.
Tomorrow would be better. I don't think the snow is supposed to come until Sunday, which, oh, geez, everybody will be at the grocery store buying bread and milk. Why? Why? I mean, it's 3 inches of snow. You don't need bread and milk. Stay home.
When is it supposed to snow?
Sunday.
How much are we supposed to get?
Like 1 to 3.
Oh.
Do you know how big 3 inches is?
Which means we'll get a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, we don't get it all.
Even if we got the full 3, do you know how big 3 inches is? Not very big.
Has it even snowed this winter?
A little bit, like dust.
It's weird.
We have some dust on the road.
You know the number one thing
like
I dislike?
Dust on a Bible bottle. Dust on a bottle.
You know the number one thing that I dislike is when people put on a show.
Yeah.
Now, that's different than a radio persona. When people are trying to perform for other people. They're trying to be more exuberant. Now that, I think, you know... I don't know why people do that.
Yeah.
You can't get any honesty out of somebody who's trying to put on a show. You like to get a little honesty. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, sorry about bothering and interrupting again, really, but I've heard you say about that cemetery where he's buried. Why don't you stop the office? They'll tell you where everybody in the Marion Cemetery is buried in the plot and stuff and nothing. Just ask them to tell them the name and they'll just...
I have a pretty good idea where he is. It's just the problem, the one day I went over there, it was just about dusk, and I only had about 45 minutes, and when I found out exactly what section he was in, it was just getting dark, and it was so wet. When you would step on the grass, you know, the puddles would come up.
Okay, I was going to say, I was positive you knew all about that. Charlie worked cemetery. He probably told you about that and this and that, about where he would be closely, because I heard Charlie talk about that.
Yeah, for anybody who wants to know, I know a lot of people like this stuff. He's in Section A, you know, so he must have had the big money. He's in Section 1A.
Hey, if you got a couple minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know that big monument there beside the by Harding Memorial?
Yeah.
I was just going through some papers there, and I looked, and there's an obit of the this fella that's buried there. And in the obit, it said he graduated in 1963. So Carol graduated in 1961. So they give the obit there, and it's really a obit that I had to read, and I don't know how I acquired that. Whether I cut that out and had some hinkling what that was about, but the name and everything, and it related to his father, was a more or less a one that come up with the idea of a wire harness out of the whirlpool on the dryers, and he manufactured wire thing. This young man, he inherited it, and he put some more additives to it and this and that. And that's why he had the big bucks to put that monument up there worth $1.3 million that I heard, which that is nothing. I think it's a really a nice monument. It isn't nothing gawky. but it's there. And if you got the bucks and want to spend it, well, why not? I got a picture of him. I'll bring it up to the studio sometime and let you read that. And if you're interested in seeing that, that obit in the paper.
That sounds good.
And the girl, I told Adam, the teacher, that Mary Jo Stafford, she taught Mary Adam Lutheran in school. Well, Mary Jo Stafford taught Carol and I in school, too. So it was pretty neat. And she had a thing on her house. Let you look at that clipping. And, yeah, Mary Ellen Withrow, she had a nice saying there that she was really delighted that she was able to teach Mary Ellen Withrow during that period of time and then what she'd become in the U.S. Treasury.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
But, you know, now there's a lady, and I can say this, knowing her very well at this point, been over to her house, just have had a very good relationship with Mary Ellen Withrow for many, many years now. She's the same. She's the same on the air, off the air. She's went to the Bratwurst Festival with me. We've been to Tony Pacco's together. I say I've been to her house. She's just... Mary Ellen is the authentic, real deal. And she, trust me, wouldn't have to be, because she achieved a lot of success. And she is just as down-to-earth and as fun. It's funny, because she is somebody who could take herself really seriously, and nobody would blink an eye, because she has held a very prestigious position. But she will do it. She'll do game shows if I ask her to do them. She goes to Stewart's grand opening with me and has a hot dog and root beer. You know, Mary Ellen is just she's a true Marion original, and it's interesting that she's the treasurer, because she is a Marion treasure, and there are a few of those. She really is just, anybody who would ever say anything negative about Mary Ellen, I could never understand, because she is unbelievable. The only thing Mary Ellen's ever been sensitive about, and I don't even want to say it's sensitive, it may be a bit of a joke, but is her age. You know, they always printed her age, and she was never all that thrilled with that. But people kind of pretty much know how old Mary Ellen is now, but Mary Ellen showed up here unannounced this morning, not realizing I wouldn't be on the air, and dropped off homemade baked goods. That's the type of lady Mary Ellen Withrow is. So...
she's a class act.
Oh, just a...
You know,
I want to
try one of those later.
Just a genuine woman.
Have you had one before?
Yeah, I think I did last time she made them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, you didn't know Mary Ellen very well until you started coming to my cookouts and things like that. But you knew her as the treasurer. Were you surprised at how easy she is to be around?
I mean, she is very easy to be around. I really like Mary Ellen.
Well, the story goes, and it's a funny thing, she showed up to my, was it 4th of July or Memorial Day last year? And I was inside on the phone with somebody. And she showed up, and I had thought about sweeping my garage, because there was some dust on the floor. And, because nobody had been out in the garage all winter. And I came out, and I noticed that all the dust on the floor had been swept up. And I didn't really think anything of it. And then I said it to Angie. I said, well, did you sweep up that dust when I was inside? No, Mary Ellen did it. Mary Ellen walked in my garage, says, where's a broom, and started cleaning my garage. Now, that's the type of woman this is. And that's a true story, is it not?
That is true.
I felt horrible.
I would have swept, but I was cooking food on the grill.
That's Mary Ellen Withrow in a nutshell. And she never said anything to me about it. She would never say anything to make me feel uncomfortable, but that's the type of lady she is.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, she's down to earth, you know. I mean, think about it, she was in the White House, you know.
Oh, there's pictures around here of her with President Obama, President Clinton, John Glenn. I mean, she was with all the heavy hitters, but yet she's just... I enjoy talking to anything. And she's very knowledgeable. She reads books like nobody's business. She's just so informed.
She is.
And you know what? She's always willing to understand the other side. I've never, I mean, she obviously has a very clear political opinion, but she's very understanding. I've never seen her argue with anybody about politics. Right. You know, she'll understand. I know people have went to her and said they voted for Trump, who obviously she is not a huge fan of, but I've never saw her berate anybody for doing that.
No. Oh, this is one thing I wanted to say. I was going to mention it earlier. So, on the news, I watch maybe 5 minutes of TV news a day, not very much. But I heard on the news that I don't know if this is true, but Donald Trump was basically condemning any, like, person, like, political person who won't admit they have the vaccine. Did you hear that?
I didn't. I really haven't watched much news today.
I haven't paid attention.
Oh, and all I kept thinking was that guy you had on here, because you asked him if he had the vaccine and he would not answer you. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be getting a Christmas card from Joe Blystone. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah.
I did not mean that to be... Oh, are you saying Donald Trump and I are on the same page then?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they said that he wanted people to say, you know, that they got the vaccine to hide that they got the vaccine.
Listen, and I'm not saying anything against Blystone. I know he's very popular here in Marion, but I could... Oh, hello. See, there's one of our listeners. I could not understand... That certainly, to me, was not the most difficult question that I was going to ask him. I could not understand... Why somebody running for office who's taking a stance on the vaccine would not say if they were vaccinated.
Right,
now, that I think is a little... Like, now, when I say I'm not going to tell you if I was vaccinated, but I wouldn't tell you to get vaccinated. I think if you go out there and you tell somebody to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated, you should at least tell us if you've done it.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's a little hypocritical if you're saying don't do it and you've done it.
I mean, I get my booster this week, I think.
A lot of people thought I was very difficult on him in that interview. And I never thought that would be a difficult question. Everybody else has answered it. Renacci answered it. DeWine has answered it. Nan Whaley has answered it. Mary Ellen has answered it. Mayor Schertzer answered it. I don't know why Blystone does not want to answer that question. Well, I do know why Blystone doesn't want to answer that question, but it's not my business to pass judgment on him.
I mean, I wonder if he's came out and said anything, you know, because that was a few months ago. I wonder if...
I know he wasn't happy that day.
But I just wonder if he's said anything since.
I don't know. I liked him as a human being. But I just...
But he didn't make it into the studio like he was supposed to.
No, but that was okay.
Yeah.
God bless his heart. 740-383-9944. Does anybody want to comment on that? That was an interesting thing. An interesting moment. I don't know that he will ever... I think he would talk to me again. I don't think it was that deep of a cut. But I just could not understand why that was such a big deal at the time. Very odd.
Well, maybe because he has he doesn't want to hurt his fans. That, you know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it's all about. He has followers, and he doesn't want to let them know.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, probably a lot of them are anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
And he probably got vaccinated, but he just doesn't want people to know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say that would probably be
that's
my guess.
That's my guess, too.
Could be.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I just never dreamed that would be such an indiscreet question that would bring such a... I wouldn't say he was angry, but he certainly didn't want to answer.
I think that's kind of hypocritical, because I think when you're running for a politician like that, a spot, I think that person should be vaccinated. Especially being in a public, you know...
Right. But I think that's why, I mean, if I understood the story right, because me getting ready in the mornings trying to listen to the news for 5 minutes, but from my understanding, that's what Trump was saying. He was saying that he wanted them, was he calling them cowards? He was calling them a name. I can't remember what name it was, mm-hmm. but I don't remember.
But, I mean, you know, everybody has their own opinion of being vaccinated. But I think we're not going to kill this virus until everybody is probably vaccinated, probably. But who knows? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but that's just my guess.
Yeah.
My opinion, people can do what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody has their own choice in life. They do what they want.
Well, we're at the end of our rope. This has been a fun, interesting conversation tonight. And I appreciate everybody who participated at home. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being with us. Any parting words?
Yeah, you know, I always enjoy talking to Sarah. She is so interesting when she calls in. I like Sarah. She's awesome.
She's nice.
Well, you can ride her bus.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to ride your bus one day.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble,
gobble, whatever I said earlier.
I do it.
Globbity,
globbity, gloop. Googity, goop.
I mean, I do. I mean, I like everybody when they call in. I'm just saying, I'm using Sarah for example. For some reason, when she does call in, she just puts me in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. Okay. Any words, Angie?
Nope. I guess we'll see you next week.
You ought to hear her and Nate sing a duet like they do at Christmas time. Donnie and Marie all over again. All right. Well, thank you all for listening tonight, and I hope you come back Monday morning. Or Sunday. Tune in Sunday for Study His Word with Pastor Craig at 11, Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service at 12:15, and the Trinity Baptist Sunday service at 6:15, plus a lot of good programming all weekend here on this station. For this night, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented.